Good morning, everybody. Right, okay. So it's holiday time. Who can guess what I like to do on my holidays? Mountaineering. Mountaineering, not quite. What do I like to do, Monty?
Swim.
I like swimming, yes. Right, with that, I'm going to take these off because they're very uncomfortable. I love to go swimming, especially if I can go somewhere where it's nice and warm, where the sea isn't too cold. We love swimming. We had a wonderful time last weekend. Going swimming with Monty and his family. We were in the reservoir. It was warm. It was great. But over the last few months, it feels like God has been gearing up for the summer holidays too. That he's been talking to the church a lot about swimming, believe it or not. Now, you may be wondering, why would God be talking to us about swimming? Well, let's break that question down to two bits. First of all, why would God be talking to us? Why would God be talking to us? Well, we believe that God wants a personal relationship with every single one of us. He wants to be our friend. Now, friends speak to each other, don't they? That you're a pretty rubbish friend if you don't spend time speaking and talking to somebody and listening to what they're saying. So if God was not going to speak to us, he wouldn't be a particularly great friend. But God is a God that speaks. And he speaks to us in several ways. And the main way he does that is through this. It's through the Bible. It's the Word of God. It says that in 2 Timothy that all Scripture is God-breathed, which basically means God has written it all. Every word you read in here comes from God. It is written by humans, but they've heard divine, wonderful revelation of what God is saying. This is infallible. It stands up to all critique. This is truth. Now, anything else that you read has got an opinion attached to it, but this is truth. It is powerful. But God also speaks through something called prophecy. Now, prophecy is where he uses ordinary people like me or you to give a message that tells us something about who he is and what he's going to do in the future. So God speaks through prophecy. And we've had some of that this morning, that what Nick shared at the start was him hearing God this week and wanting to share that with us. That God is wanting to break down barriers and walls. That there's walls and barriers in our lives that actually God says, they don't need to be there. Let's take those down. That's God speaking prophetically. That's a prophecy. And this is where the swimming bit comes in as well. So we've answered the bit of why would God speak. Now we want to find out, why is he speaking to us about swimming? Well, back in April, Stu, who is part of the kind of oversight and leadership of the church across all three sites. We were in a time of worship in the Year 6 classroom one evening, and he felt God giving him a picture about a splash zone at a seal-off centre. And these are the places in the crowd where you know you're going to get wet if the dolphins or the whales splash. Anybody been to one of those? No. You have, Claire. Did you go to the splash zone?
Yeah.
You did. Did you get wet?
Yeah.
Great. Very good. So the idea is that you've got all the people around watching, and then you have the dolphins or the whales come out of the water and splash, and then the water comes out and splashes all over you. And Stu was saying that we can choose to go into the splash zone or not, that we can choose to sit further up and watch what's going on, or we can go into the splash zone and we can get wet. Then at a church meeting in May, Nick and Josie both felt God was speaking to them for the whole church. They felt God speaking about swimming. Nick felt God saying this, that we're in the water and the tide is moving one way and you want to go against it because you can see something upstream that looks good. So you're in the water, you see something upstream that looks good. Allow the Lord to lead you in his direction, where he's taking you. Even if you can't see where the river is going, embrace the flow. Allow him to take you where he wants you to go. Don't fight against it. Don't try and swim upstream. There is a place around the corner that is far greater than that which you can see upstream. And Josie followed this by talking about riptides. Does anybody remember this? Vaguely? She talked about riptides, which are big currents under the water. She was talking about her daughter who'd been in Australia and was talking about riptides. And they can be quite dangerous, especially if you try and swim against them. Her encouragement was, if you get caught in a riptide, is to not try and fight it, but allow it to take you where it's going to take you. And Josie felt that God is asking us to let the rip current take us out to sea. to have the courage and the faith to let God's rip current take you out, as it will lead you to safety eventually. It's where he wants you to go. Then a few weeks later at Pentecost in June, Graham felt God speaking to him also about swimming. And he said this: God is calling us to step into the river of God, from Ezekiel 47. For some, this will be a challenge to step into the river for the first time. For others, it will be to go ankle deep. Others to go knee deep. Others to go waist deep. And finally, for some to swim, to be out of their depth, allowing God to take us in his flow wherever he wants us to go. God is calling us to swim. Now, the book of Ezekiel is a book in the Old Testament, so a bit before Jesus was around. And the passage in chapter 47 says this: He walked to the east with a measuring tape and measured off 1,500 feet, leading me through the water that was ankle deep. He measured off another 1,500 feet, leading me through the water that was knee deep. He measured off another 1,500 feet, leading me through the waters that were waist deep. He measured off another 1,500 feet. By now the river was over my head, water to swim in, water no one could possibly walk through. Now, water in the Bible is often used as a symbol of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is one part of the Trinity. There are three parts that make up who God is, along with the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is God's presence on earth, and is in every single one of us who's become a Christian. And it says that the Spirit seals us in our faith. Now, as a church, we believe that the Spirit is still alive and active. That some churches and some denominations would suggest otherwise. They'd say that the Holy Spirit was for the Bible and that it stops there. But we would say no. The Holy Spirit is alive and active. And that's not just theology. That's not just a nice idea. That's not just some good theory. But actually, it's something that I can attest to for myself. That I have felt the Holy Spirit. That I've told the story before of where I was at a Christian camp and I prayed for a kid with glasses. And I put my hand upon him and said, God, come and heal him so he doesn't need to wear glasses anymore. And I felt the Holy Spirit, the power of God, flow down my arm and into his face. And he didn't need to wear glasses anymore. That's the Holy Spirit at work. And I'm sure we could spend a lot of time, and many of you would have similar stories where you've either felt the Spirit for yourself or seen or heard of amazing encounters of healing of what the power of God of what he does. The Holy Spirit is still active. And God is inviting us to all go swimming in that Holy Spirit. To not just get our toes wet or our knees wet, but to get fully in the river of the Holy Spirit. Now that feels quite an abstract concept, doesn't it? What does it mean to be in the river of the Holy Spirit? Well, it's God giving us a physical picture of something he wants to do on the inside of us, in our hearts and in our spirit. That him talking about a river is trying to unpack and show us something that we can understand about what he wants to do on the inside of us. God is inviting us to let the power and presence of the Holy Spirit be greater in each of our lives. The Holy Spirit can do many things in our life. It can bring peace and joy and healing, that's from physical or emotional sickness. It can bring freedom from situations. It can bring a sense of God's love for us. The list can go on. But the Holy Spirit will only bring good things. And the things that the Spirit brings will bring life and fruitfulness. He never brings something bad to us. The Holy Spirit may also come with outward signs. That in the book of Acts, which is the story of the early church after Jesus had died and ascended to heaven, he was alive, he'd ascended back to heaven. At Pentecost, all the disciples were in a room praying. And suddenly the Holy Spirit came upon them all. And they went out from that place. And the whole crowd thought they were drunk. There's an outward sign there, isn't there? Something's happening on the outside. It's not just something on the inside, but actually what God is doing on the inside of them is flowing out of them and doing something on the outside. The Apostle Paul, who wrote a lot of letters to different churches in the New Testament, in his letter to the Ephesians, says, do not get drunk on wine. Instead, be filled of the Holy Spirit. He's equating the nature that alcohol can overtake our bodies and kind of change, kind of make us feel slightly different, with the work of the Spirit. That the Holy Spirit doesn't give you a hangover in the morning. The work of the Spirit doesn't make you make bad choices. The Holy Spirit fills us in a way that we maybe not encountered before. again, the Spirit brings something not just on the inside, but can have outward examples of that too. And it's also the Holy Spirit, again at Pentecost, that helps us go out into our communities and tell people about who Jesus is. That the Spirit filled the disciples at Pentecost that they may go out and tell all of the world about who Jesus was. That's the same for us. The Holy Spirit is not just so that we can have a nice time or that we can find freedom for ourselves. Wonderful though that is. But the Holy Spirit equips us to go out, to share God's love with those around us. So going back to our picture, the fact that God is speaking about this means that for many of us, if not all of us, God is inviting us to go deeper. That it stands to reason, if God is saying, come into the waters, come deeper with me, get in the splash zone, it stands to reason that he's not just saying that just to be kind of nice, but actually he's got an action for us all to do. He's saying to every single one of us here today, step into the river, step into the water, be splashed by the Spirit. God is inviting us to go deeper in him. Now this means letting the Holy Spirit take us where he wants to. That means allowing the current of the Spirit to take us and move us. That means giving him control in our lives. That's a challenge, isn't it? To allow God to have complete control of our lives rather than us trying to hold on to it for ourselves, hold on to control for ourselves. It's letting the current in the water carry us where he wants to, where it wants to go, rather than us resisting or trying to swim upstream. Allowing the Spirit to move us and take us to where he wants to take us. Now the danger is that we stay on the banks of the river and watch, or we splash about on the edge, or we sit high up above the splash zone and watch down on what's going on, but we don't go into it ourselves. And we can say, that's nice for somebody else, I can enjoy watching, but actually that's not for me. And there are all kinds of reasons why we may not want to go into the river of the Holy Spirit. All kinds of reasons why we may say, do you know what? That's not for me, thank you. I'm going to sit here nice and dry and watch. Maybe we feel frightened that it will feel different or scary. Maybe we feel like we're out of control. Maybe we're worried about what people might think of us when we get into the water. Maybe you don't want to see people to see you trying to swim about and splash about in the Holy Spirit. Maybe we've settled for enjoying splashing about but don't really want to go any further. Like a kid that is on the edge of the sea or at the edge of the river that kind of splashes around and kind of gets a little bit wet but actually doesn't go any further than that. Or maybe we know we should be in the river. Maybe we know that actually in the middle of the river is a good place to be. But we've become lazy or distracted by other things. It's very easy to get distracted. Very easy to actually fall into apathy or laziness. Or maybe we're happy for the river to be for other people to enjoy, but not for ourselves. Just to allow other people to go in, but we'll just stay and watch. Maybe you've gotten to the river before, and you've had a bad experience, and you found it a challenge, the way that was taught to you, or the way that was experienced by you, was you found that hard going, that you don't really want to go in the river again, you don't want to be out of your depth again, because actually that feels scary and hard. Maybe you don't feel safe to go in any deeper. You want to keep the armbands and the rubber ring on, because that feels like a safe place to be. One of my favourite books is The Chronicles of Narnia. Who's read The Chronicles of Narnia? Yeah, kids, any of you read Narnia stories or watched the films? Yeah, about Aslan the Lion? Is that ringing a bell? Well, the guy that wrote those books is a guy called C.S. Lewis, and actually he was a Christian. And so all those books are talking about Jesus. And so Aslan the Lion in the stories is a picture of who Jesus is. And in one of the books there's a girl called Lucy who goes into Narnia, and she's heard about this Aslan the Lion. And she asks Mrs. Beaver, is he safe? Is this lion safe? Is this Aslan safe? And Mrs. Beaver says this, safe? He's a lion. He isn't safe. But He is good. He is good. But friends, if you want to be a Christian and live a safe life, you've come to the wrong place. That as a church, our desire is that we never stay comfortable. We're in a safe place. Because that means we can rely on ourselves. We want to be a people that step out and go, God's not safe. He's powerful. He created the world. He knows everything about us. He's not safe. But He is good. He is good. And that means that you can trust Him. That means that you can give Him your cares, give Him your worries, as we've done already this morning, and know that He is good. He's not going to be unkind towards you. He's not going to chastise you or rebuke you. He's a God that loves you. And so sometimes you have to take off the armbands of the rubber ring and go for it. Feeling a bit out of your depth. Ever had that thing where you're swimming and then you're going to go touch the bottom and you can't do it anymore and you kind of panic? Anybody else had that? That's okay. That's okay, because God is safe. God is kind. Not safe. God is kind. So maybe you're worried. Maybe you've settled. Maybe you've had bad experience. Maybe you want to stay in the safety. I'm sure that many of us will relate to many of these things today. I know that I do. If I'm honest, living a safe life for Jesus sounds quite nice. God bless me on a Sunday, give me a good week, give me good health, enough money in the bank account, and let me crack on with my life. But that's not what God calls us to. God has so much more for us. Like that picture of the river that round the corner, if we just allow Him to take us, there's things far greater than we could ever believe for ourselves. And so today God says, regardless of where you're at, regardless of how you're feeling about stepping into the river, there's a moment to say, come deeper. Come into the water. It's lovely. The water's a lovely place to be. Come into the water. It's a lovely place to be. And it's for all of us. The water, the Holy Spirit, the river is for all of us. Not just for a special few. Not just if you've read your Bible every day this week. Not just if you've not sworn this week. Not just if you've been especially kind this week. The Holy Spirit is for all of us. That includes you kids. And we were praying this morning, there was a kid who became king of all of Israel, age 8. Because God came and brought His presence upon him, and he was able to lead and rule as an 8-year-old. Now, I don't know what I'd feel about an 8-year-old running the country. Sometimes I feel that might be a better idea. But the Spirit is for all of us. Every single one of us is here today. You can receive and encounter the Holy Spirit today. And there are wonderful adventures in store when we allow and follow His invitation. There are great adventures. Now, I've spoken to many of you in this room who have spoken about how God came into your life, completely changed what happened, and then you've been blown away by what God has done. There's an invitation for us all. And we don't want to be the people that splash around on the edge of the river in the armbands, holding on to something for safety. We want to be the people fully in the flow of the river, swimming and enjoying being able to dive around. There's an excitement in that river. There's an excitement and a joy and a delight as we encounter and as we step into the Spirit. So we're going to have a time where each of us can invite the Holy Spirit into our lives again. Maybe this is something you've never thought about before. You've come along and maybe this is your first time ever in church. It's like, what is this Holy Spirit you're talking about? What is this? Maybe you've been in church before, but not for a little while. Or maybe you've come along expecting a normal Sunday morning and suddenly we're talking about rivers all morning. We all have a choice to make today. We all have a choice. We can either stay on the banks and watch other people and say, do you know what, I want to stay safe. Or we can say, Holy Spirit, I want everything that you can give me. I want more of you in my life. I need freedom. I need life in its fullness from you. We have a choice to step into the river today. And so what we're going to do is that you may have noticed a set of mats down the middle. This is my best attempt at a river. Now, you wonder what they're for, didn't you? And so it'd be great if the band could come back up, if that's all right. But we're going to just spend some time saying, God, we want you to step in. We want to step into the river with you. And if that is something that you want to do, this is not a scary thing. It may feel scary, but actually, God's good. It's a good thing to do. It's sometimes quite helpful to do a physical action to go with what you're saying on the inside. And so if you're somebody that says, God, I want to step into the river. I'm going to choose to step past my fear, my past experience, or my uncomfortableness. I'm going to stop being lazy today. Then the river in the middle is for you. It's a place where you can step into and say, God, I'm stepping in to what you want to do. And then as we're there, it'd be great if people to come and pray for you. If we've got everybody in the river, then we can all pray for each other. But we'll lay hands on you. It says that actually laying hands is a sign of kind of being able to kind of impart something of who God is to each other. And so we can lay hands on each other and just pray that the Spirit would come. So just check with the person that they're happy for you to lay hands on them. That we want people to feel kind of in a safe space. So can I invite you to stand? Kids, that's for you as well. God, we want to be a people that step into the waters of you. That you've spoken to us repeatedly about stepping into the river, about being in the splash zone, about allowing you, Holy Spirit, to be in control of our lives. And so this morning, Lord, we say yes to you. We say yes to you. We want to choose you, Lord. I just feel for some of you that will be hard. That will feel scary. It will feel difficult based on past experience. But God is saying, I'm not safe, but I am good. I am good. You can trust me that I am good. I have good things for you. I have life to bring to you this morning. If you will step into the waters, I will bring life into you. So I'm just going to ask the Spirit to come. And we're going to sing a song together. And as we sing, if you want to step into the waters, then you can do that. And then we'll come and pray for you as well. So Holy Spirit, come. Thank you that you've been speaking to us. Therefore, we know this is not something that is our nice idea for this morning, but actually is you wanting to move in us. We know you have more for us than we have experienced so far. There are many bends around the corner for us to go and see all the goodness and all the glory of what you want to do. And so we choose to say yes to you this morning. Holy Spirit, come and fill us afresh. Come and move us into the water, into the splash zone, that we may receive you afresh. Because we want your life in us, Lord. We need your life in us. Amen.
You call me out upon the waters, the great unknown. My feet may fail, and there I find you in the mystery, an ocean's deep. My faith will stand, and I will call upon your name and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours and you are. Your grace abounds in deepest waters.